Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
This week's parasha is entitled Tezabah, which means command. And it covers Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 36. Now, the book of Leviticus was written to show Israel how to live as a holy nation in fellowship with God, and to prepare the nation for the high service of mediating the redemption of God to all the other nations. Did you know that the word holy is recorded in this book more times than in any other book in Scripture? In chapter 6, we learn that stealing involves more than just taking from someone. Finding something and not searching for the owner, or refusing to return something that was borrowed, are other forms of stealing. These are sins against the holiness of God and not just one's neighbor. If you acquired something deceitfully, confess your sins to God and apologize to the owner and return the stolen item with interest. In chapter 6, we are also told of the law of the burnt offering. This section looks only at the responsibility of the priests and their proper care of the ashes and the fire on the altar. Throughout the night, the embers of the burning of the evening burnt offerings were to remain on the altar, and the altar fire was to be kept burning. In the morning, wearing clothes appropriate for each task, the priest was to remove the ashes from the altar and then dispose of them in a ceremonially clean place outside the camp. Now remember, the priests were responsible to keep the fire always burning on the altar. The grain offering also, outlined in chapter 6, could be presented at the altar in one of five forms: fine flour, oven-baked cakes, cakes baked in a pan, cakes baked in a frying pan on a griddle, or crushed roasted heads of new grain. Now, since the grain represented the fruits of our labors, the meal offering was one way for the Israelites to dedicate to Adonai that which he had enabled them to produce. But the meal offering was not presented alone. It accompanied one of the sacrifices that involved the shedding of blood. Our hard work could never purchase salvation or even earn the blessings of God. For apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In this offering, we can see Messiah Yeshua depicted as the bread of life, the perfect one who nourishes our inward persons as we worship him and ponder his word. The offering had to be accompanied with oil, either poured on it or mingled with it. Now, this symbolizes the Holy Spirit of God, which was given to Yeshua without measure. The offering also had to include salt, which speaks of our Lord's purity of character. Yeshua compared himself to a grain of wheat, and he was crushed like fine flour, and put through the furnace of suffering that he might save us from our sins. Now, yeast and honey were prohibited from being included in the meal offering. The Israelis would associate leaven with the Passover rules, and certainly there was no sin in Messiah Yeshua. Now, honey is the sweetest thing nature produces, but this was often offered on pagan altars and thus prohibited. The drink offering, like the meal offering, was presented after the animal sacrifice had been put on the altar and was a required part of the sacrifice. The pouring out of the wine at the base of the altar was the future symbol of life being poured out in dedication to God. On the altar of the cross, Yeshua was like broken bread and poured out wine. Yeshua there poured out his life's blood unto death. In chapter 7, the law of the guilt offering is practically identical with that of the sin offering. Now, it is impossible to ponder these things without our minds turning to Yeshua, the great and infinite sacrifice in which all the suggestions of the Mosaic economy were finally fulfilled. The peace offering was preeminently that of a communion or connection with God. In the law of this offering, three kinds are recognized: the offering of thanksgiving, an offering in connection with vows, and one which is purely a free will offering to God. In a final section concerning the laws of the various offerings, some final instructions are emphasized. First, the fat and the blood were not to be eaten. And further, an offering could not be provided by proxy. Each man for himself must bring in his own hands the Lord's portion. While God comes to men directly and individually, he expects to receive from us in like manner. And thus, this communion is more than general and sentimental. It is personal and immediate. In chapter 8, Adonai said to Moses, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the clothes, the anointing oil, a bull for the sin offering, two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread. Then gather the people together at the entrance of the meeting tent." Now Moses did as the Lord commanded him and anoints Aaron. He also clothes Aaron's sons. An offering of a bullock was made for them as a sin offering, as well as a ram for the burnt offering. After further offerings, Moses places some of the blood of the sacrifices upon Aaron and his son as part of their consecration. Moses then commands Aaron and his sons to abide 7 days at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they obeyed. A few thoughts in closing. Now, there are many aspects of the offerings in Parashat Tazavah which points us to Messiah Yeshua's own sacrifice. For example, the absence of leaven points to his sinless nature, as does the demand of the sacrificial animals had to be completely flawless. The peace offering with the meal offering that was shared by the priest and the worshiper together anticipates a future time when a redeemed mankind would break bread in righteousness as a kingdom of royal priests. And as every grain offering had to be accompanied by salt, Yeshua declared that his followers are to be salt and the light to the world. And just as the fire of the altar was to never go out, so Messiah is to always shine through us. By this, our Heavenly Father and King is glorified. Shabbat Shalom.